Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. A chance to catch up on the nation's best beef cattle show, put on by cattlemen for cattlemen. Now here's your host, Mr. Ron Hayes.
Well, thanks, Kirby, and welcome to this latest edition of Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. Today, very happy to have with us the Executive Vice President of the American Hereford Association, Jack Ward. The Hereford breed's been a big supporter of Congress since day one, and it's great to be able to talk to Jack about all things Hereford, or everything from genomics to gene editing to certified Hereford beef and a lot more. Let's start the conversation with asking Jack about how 2023 treated the Hereford breed.
You bet, Ron. So 2023 was another good year. Our fiscal year ends in August, and so we came out of that year with our registration cow inventories kind of very similar year over year from a financial standpoint. Very healthy. We sold more pounds of certified Hereford beef, and of course, then the other part of our business, the junior program, really continues to grow and build, and we're really proud of many of the accomplishments there. So it was a good year, very, very nice year for Hereford and the membership. You know, we've seen an increase in averages year over year in prices. We've seen more bull sales, which is a good indicator of the demand for our genetics in the commercial market. And so a lot of very positive things.
You mentioned the bull sales. What is the attitude right now among your seed stock operators that are you know, Hereford Association members?
You know, it's really, really strong, and I think we've talked about this before about Hereford breeders. They're an incredible group of folks because they're such good cattlemen. They're good stockmen, right? They understand the importance of breeding cattle from a genetic standpoint that are strong. They understand technology, whether it be ultrasound, genomics, and because they are good stockmen, they understand what kind of genetics fit their environment and what their customers want and need. So the very basics of the cattle are still a priority to them. And so I think everybody's very optimistic. We had an incredible annual meeting, the largest attendance that we'd had since I've been at Hereford, I believe. And so the enthusiasm was really good. So it was a good start, a good launching pad for 2024.
You know, the seed stock is purebred industry. Some folks were predicting maybe even just a few years ago that, hey, we're going to go the same way that the other major livestock species have gone, the poultry, the pork folks, and these breeds are going to become less and less important. That just doesn't seem to be happening in the beef cattle business.
You know, I couldn't agree more, Ron, and it's really interesting because you're right. You hear more and more about vertical integration. And honestly, there is some value in some of the things that go on in the pork and poultry industry in terms of sharing information and getting it to guide itself all the way from the producer, from the packer back to the producer, and understanding how their genetics are working, where they need to focus some attention. So there's some really interesting parts of that part of the business that's important. But I would tell you that beef cattle producers are very unique because they still get to make their own decisions on a daily basis. That's very important to them. They understand their customers and the needs of their customers. And so if we can figure out a way to be able, and I think there's going to be a continued focus on that in the next few years, of how we can capture a little more of the commercial data, get it to feed through the seed stock genetic evaluations to better make our genetics more reliable, find the genetics that work within this industry. I think that will be important. But the independence and the identity of producers is still a key part of our business, and I think it'll continue to be.
You mentioned technology a moment ago. You know, the technology we have today is so amazing, that starting with genomics and the information that you're able to provide customers that are buying Hereford bulls or Hereford females for that matter.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not, you know, I'll share a little bit with you. It's not only from the seed stock side where people have adopted, and, you know, the seed stock producer, no matter its size, is still kind of the one that has to make the decisions that affect the commercial industry and do things on down through there. But I think it's really interesting. I think we're going to continue to see the growth of genomics and even into the commercial industry, the feedlot sector, to be able to identify genetics and the kind of cattle that will work for an in-product merit, consumer demand type product. And I'll share that we had a little project go on at AHA over the course of the last year that I'm really proud of. And Ron, I'm sure we've talked about this. We have a feed out program. It started as a junior feed out program, and it's been an incredible opportunity for our youth to understand or get involved in the feeding and the packer side, the education of that and the growth of that. But we opened it up to breeders, commercial cattlemen that had known Hereford genetics. Last year, we had about 1,500 head of cattle on feed. We genotyped all those cattle. We were able to sire identify them and track them through, use that information in our genetic evaluation. We actually did a little pilot project with National Beef as well as a software company to be able to, called Block Trust, where we track these cattle all the way through, and we're able to provide information not only about the cattle, but also about where the cattle came from, the husbandry practices of those people. And so we're looking at this ability to share a story with the producer, right? And so when we talk about the vertical integration a little bit, the ability to track that information up and down the line and identify genetics that are useful to the industry is really key. And that was a project that kind of got us rolling down the road. But we had 1,500 head. It worked very well. And the fact that we were able to use genomics to identify them, sire identify them, and get it to, we got to get it to a price point that makes sense. And I think we're getting closer and closer. So it's a wonderful business, and it's changing all the time. It's exciting, keeps us all interested in what we're doing.
Isn't that the truth? You know, one thing you mentioned, obviously certified Hereford beef, kind of consumer-facing part of the business gives you the opportunity to probably share those stories.
You bet. And you know, I'll kind of elaborate where we were with the blockchain. We also have a program started where we've got our third set of cattle on feed at what we call our Young Sire Test program at Olson Ranches in western Nebraska. And at this ranch, we collect on the steers. We finish them out. They're big sire, they're big groups of individual sires. I'd say 15 to 25 head of steers on feed by various sires. Around 15 or 20 sires get tested every year. And in that test, we're actually collecting individual feed intake on those cattle. We're measuring methane and nitrogen excretion. We're also measuring water intake individually on those cattle. And this project is a collaboration with Ag Next Team, as well as the folks at Colorado State University, and just trying to focus on where Hereford fits in this commercial industry and where it can fit in terms of this question of sustainability, right? And so it's again another exciting project that we're looking to find and identify exactly where Hereford fits, whether we're building back this cow herd and that F1 female, or we're talking about efficiency and environmental friendliness in terms of the beef cattle industry. And it's a great project, a lot of things going on, and certainly very, very exciting.
That mention of methane, that's one of those buzzwords these right. days, as far as trying to get to a carbon neutral
right.
type finish. Do you see the day that we may even be looking at an EPD or some sort of measurement within the beef industry on methane?
Well, and I mentioned that project we have going on, and from a genetic standpoint, that's exactly what we're going to do at Hereford. Is it a standalone individual trait? Is it a trait that you build into your current indexes? We don't know exactly where that's going to be right now. And then also looking at from a methane excretion or collection effect, what are the other traits that are correlated with that so that we can actually use the data that we already have collected to identify cattle that are going to be friendly from that standpoint. And it's not only the environment, Ron, but it's looking at how do we continue to make the ranchers profitable, right? So, you know, when we've done a lot of studies over the last 20, 25 years of using Hereford bulls on alternate breed cows and taking that F1 female, you know, Dr. Lawman has done a tremendous amount of work here at Oklahoma State, looking at that F1 female and its ability to stay in a good body condition score. That F1 female gets pregnant at a higher degree than some of the straight bred counterparts. And so all of that's going to affect your profitability at your ranch, and then that's what we're talking about with true sustainability, right, and where it goes.
Of course, there's always that hybrid vigor that we're always plugging in there as well.
It's, you know, everybody kind of refers to it as a free lunch. Nothing's free, right? But it is a great opportunity for you to take advantage of breed complementary and where they fit in your program.
Let's talk about Congress, if we might, for a few moments. This is the fourth Cattlemen's Congress. You know, looking back to that very first one, when y'all came in really not knowing what to expect, what are your thoughts about this now in this fourth year?
You know, it's interesting you say that. I kind of had that discussion a little bit over the day. This is our first day here, and it does feel like people are kind of settling in, right, and understand exactly what they're supposed to be, where they need to be, what they're supposed to be doing. I think some of the bugs, so to speak, have gotten worked out. And it's been a really nice experience for Hereford and Herefordy. We've had some incredible sales here. The shows, the size of the shows have been incredible. The quality of the cattle have been extraordinary as well. So we're really happy and just so thankful. I actually seen Bray Haven this morning, you know, the first morning of the show. He was up late last night getting things converted to get the show going, and I just thanked him, right? I mean, I appreciate what the staff here has done to open up the doors, so to speak, and allow us to have another great event, and it's been a nice show.
For one of your roles this year, you're going to be actually judging one of the other breeds. What are we looking like? What are we looking for today in the beef cattle industry? What's the right kind of female as for that? You know, as well as a bull. Right.
Well, I think that's a really interesting question. And you know, we were all at the Cattlemen's Conference back in May. That was part of the discussion, you know, about where we've been, where are we headed, what are some of the unintended consequences with some of the selection pressure that we've put out there. And I think one of the interesting things is I think we've all kind of identified, especially in the seed stock side, we can always take things to extremes and too far selection. And you know, we've gone through times of real short early maturing cattle to big frame late maturing cattle. We've talked about in the show ring wanting a little more body depth, more thickness, more bone, and there, if you begin to take all of those things a little too far, you sacrifice in other areas of production that are important. You know, in our business today, there's been an all purebred sectors, there's been a huge focus on in-product merit, which we have to keep that in our mind. But as we continue to just add growth and performance and in-product merit, maybe we give up a little bit in the maternal side or where we are from a cow-calf standpoint. So I think, you know, this idea of keeping things a little moderate. A couple weeks ago, I was actually at a genetic merit workshop in Kansas City that was put on by BIF, and I actually heard one of the molecular scientists from Georgia talking about the fact that maybe we've even identified cattle a little too quickly through genomics in spreading or bending this curve like we talk about all the time. And so he suggests maybe we take a look at, as we've done that, we've lost a little bit in structure, maybe udder quality, whatever the trait may be. So I think just keeping in mind that we have to have good fundamentals as we continue to push this. And I think you're seeing that in the show ring today. I think everybody's identified now that, you know, feet and legs are important. We got to start there, keep them the right size, the right amount of body depth, but nothing too extreme, so we can keep some yield and leanness to the cattle. And so I believe that's where we are. We're kind of back to the middle, trying to moderate them just a little bit.
Circle back around at the end of the day. Where do you see, in other words, what's your vision as far as where Herefords need to go, not just 2024, but beyond as well?
Well, I think that's always an interesting question, and we pose that to our staff and the membership all the time, because a little bit like what we said. So what is the purpose of the Hereford animal in our commercial herds? And, you know, and again, we have to focus there to begin with. And so the bulls that we produce need to go out and breed cows and function and do the right things and produce the kind of animals that fit an environment. You know, you talked a little bit about this vertical integration, Ron, and in the beef cattle industry, you know, the desert conditions around Boise, Idaho are a little bit different than where I grew up in northern Indiana, right? And so it takes a little different kind of an animal, or you can kind of push the parameters a little bit more, maybe in northern Indiana where corn and silage is plentiful and you feed your cattle that, versus some desert conditions where moderate milk, moderate mature size is probably going to get you a cow that's going to be much, much more functional to you. So I think it depends a little bit about where our producers are. Our role at the HA is to provide the tools to allow them to make the decisions, and then they need to work with their commercial customers to identify the kind of pedigrees, the kind of genetics, and the type of cattle that they need for their customers to be profitable. So I'm not sure there's a cookie-cutter answer to your question, because I think it'll be dependent a little bit on where you are.
Thanks so much, Jack. Jack Ward, the Executive Vice President of the American Hereford Association. Their website, hereford.org. And, of course, if you want to catch up with everything going on with Cattlemen's Congress, it's cattlemenscongress.com. That's your place to go. Have yourself a great day, everybody. That's our Cattlemen's Congress conversation for this time around. I'm Ron Hayes at the 2024 Cattlemen's Congress.